Good evening, everyone. Feels like it's the beginning of a hot week. Hopefully, we won't have any glitches on the PowerPoints this evening. Sometimes I had been doing all my sermons on PowerPoints and very few notes, and then I go back and forth to all notes and very few slides. And this morning, where I had all slides and it started acting up, it throws me. So, and this one this evening, I did all slides. So hopefully we'll get through it. So as I mentioned this morning, I want to talk about the house church movement. This movement revolves around two verses, Acts 2:46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And Acts 20:20, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. There is a movement that started 40, 50 years ago, but there has always also been different beliefs about what these phrases from house to house mean. I have a friend that's a Jehovah's Witness, and we were talking one day. Someone was making a joke about something, and she said, that's why we go from house to house teaching, because that's the way they did in the first century, where you can read in the Bible that they went from house to house. So they take that to heart. We know their doctrine is not correct, but they have the concept of going out and teaching to others. A couple weeks ago, we were passing through Xenia, and we decided to drive by our old house where we lived. And on the back side of the house, there's a church building on the next road. And when I was growing up, it used to be Westminster Presbyterian Church. I'd been in that building a couple of times for different functions. Out in front of that building, there's a sign, New Community Church, a family of house churches. This says, we are a family of house churches that meet all throughout the week. Then we come back together on the weekends to celebrate our Savior, Jesus Christ. I think I've got this on a larger slide here so I can make it out. A usual weekend gathering will consist of teaching and music, as well as extra elements such as baptisms, missions, highlights, and testimonies. We also make a great joy in the responsibility of discipling the children and students that walk through our doors, the joy of knowing Jesus through our family ministry. Find out more below. So you see so many things, and we'll get into why these house churches have started, but they want to redefine everything, give it a different name, reimagine. They want to reimagine what worship is, what traditional worship is, and they don't call it an assembly, a worship service. They call it a weekend gathering. We're going to have a weekend gathering. What's coming up at the community church? How to share your gospel story. They've got a four-week training program to get you prepared. New to the community, house church, the away game, upcoming events. They have many things on their website. How did you get connected to new community? Are you in a house church? And then it lists about a dozen different ones. I don't know how close, how far away these are. Are you a college student? A lot of these movements like to go to colleges, get young people involved. And again, they get them involved at that age, and they have them many times for life. A lot of it revolves around today. A lot of it revolves around different websites. Find a house church. Again, they use Acts 20:20. Do you have a house church? Are you a trailblazer? Is God leading you? Again, this is a progressive forward movement saying that the traditional church is not enough. How to find a house church? And it's interesting. You read about the New Testament church in the New Testament. When I do that, I don't get a picture of this at all, where they're sitting around a campfire, having a glass of wine, and somebody's playing a guitar. That's what people are trying to make religion into. And it's growing. It's growing. And again, a lot of it revolves around getting started with the website, with the Find a House Church website. It's easy to start something right where you are. The website is free and does not solicit funds. So this is an organized religion, and they encourage you to start your own website. Join another one also. His hand will be on it. Here is the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I use a percentage of my company's radio advertising budget to run ads for Find a House Church. That's a more expensive way to do it and gets broader results. However, when I started my home house church, I went to the local sign shop and had a few yard signs made. So instead of sticking a garage sale sign out in your yard, you get a sign made, house church. Within 3 weeks, we had over 20 people that we didn't know contact us. And as I read through this, it's like, I got the impression of some of these multi-level marketing companies that are out there trying to recruit you to get something started and then tell your friends and this and that, and it's going to grow and it's going to explode. But the difference is, this is an apostolic work that multiplies and spreads. Do you feel the leading of the Holy Spirit to do something? The simple act of purchasing and putting out signs could lead to the salvation of many souls. That statement in and of itself is true. Anytime we hand something out, but again, they have a different agenda. If you are part of a traditional church, then you can share the website with your pastor, and he can equip the saints to do the work of ministry in their own neighborhoods. So when we talk about the house church, what is not under review? We're not looking at Christians meeting in a home. We have seen that. We can read about that in the New Testament. One of the congregations that supported me for a time in Indiana, they met in a home. We went and visited them. When you walked into the home, the first thing I noticed in the living room, they had a pulpit sitting up there, and they had a table for the Lord's Supper and giving. They used the house for a regular place of worship, invited people to come. Number of years ago, there were Christians in the Brookville area that met in a house. At one point they had a building, but again, it was a recognized church. Instead of having a building, they met in a home. That is not under review. The practice of Christians meeting in a home is as old as the New Testament and often expedient today. Christians desiring to be more spiritually minded in their service to God, more active in their participation and closer in fellowship with one another, is not under review. We aren't talking about what can we do, although that plays into their concept and their selling point to be closer to God. The New Testament teaches that we all must be spiritually minded, active in our participation, and close in fellowship. That's just a given. If we're a member of the Lord's church, we're a family, we're close to one another, whether there's 10 people or 100 people. So what is under review? The practice of some Christians today who make meeting in a home essential to true and proper Christianity. They are trying to get away from the traditional institutional church by meeting in homes. They say, we've got to go back to like they did in the first century, but they go a little too far, and again, they have a different agenda. They believe that this is really the only way to worship God today is by having these small units. So what is under review? The practice of some Christians today who make meeting in home essential to true Christianity. These Christians attempt to get away from institutional church by meeting in homes. They believe that this is the way to really worship God today. What is under review is the mindset of some Christians who believe that small, informal, casual meetings in a home produce more spirituality and fellowship than meetings in a large church building. And friends, the feeling of closeness, the feeling of fellowship, again, it does not depend on whether you have a small number or a large number. It depends on the people. I have been to large congregations that you could just feel the love there. Everybody would talk to you. Everybody would ask you out to eat. Everybody cared about you. I've been to some large congregations that felt as cold as ice. And the same with a small congregation. You can go to a small congregation. Everybody is warm, welcoming, makes you feel right at home. And you can go to some small congregations and you can't wait to get out of there. It's not the number that makes the feeling. It's the people either following God's word or not following God's word. So the house church formations, they started in the denominations. This information I have is in the 1980s. I believe it started earlier than that, and it was in opposition to organized institutional religion and traditional churches. So you think about the 60s and the 70s, the 60s where you go back to World War II, and people going into getting, the war was over, people going into the factories, people were taught to sit here, do this, obey, memorize this, obey, do this. And then after a while, people started thinking, well, I can think for myself and I don't want to do it this way. And you get into the 60s and you started having people, and I'm talking our general culture, people starting to rebel, wanting to rebel and protest. You have that continued in the 70s, and all of that that's going on in the culture spills over into the church. So there are people saying, we need to change the institution of the church to something different. There was a desire for change in the organizational structure more than doctrinal changes. It started out that way. But we'll see they've changed the doctrine also. And again, why do we need to talk about this? To be aware that so many people that we come in contact believe in this type of religion. That's why it's hard to convert some people. They see worshiping God, again, as sitting around somebody's backyard, having some drinks, playing some music, and getting that feeling. They call that religion. Friends, that is not religion. So there is a desire for change in the organizational structure more than doctrinal changes. The religious pendulum swung from the mega church structure, thousands of members, to the house church. So as organized religion got bigger and bigger, there is a swing back the other way. These are old numbers, but in 2011, this research company found that about 11.5 million American adults say they attend a house church or simple church, not associated in any way with the local congregational type of church, at least weekly or monthly. And that number was up from 8.8 million in 2006. I'm guessing nobody keeps records on this anymore because that was the most recent numbers that I could find. But again, it shows people wanting to do their own thing, back in Judges. Everybody did what was right in their own sight. David has given us numbers on the percentage of people in New Lebanon, religious affiliation, that a lot of them don't believe in anything. You say you got a large group of people that don't believe in anything, then you got another group of people that believe in everything. So you have this small town with about a dozen different denominations in it. Someone once said that people are religious. People are religious. The problem is somebody has gotten to them before we did. Somebody has gotten to them and taught them they need to be a Baptist, they need to be a Methodist, they need to be this, that. Because people are searching for something. They're searching for some kind of experience. Advocates among the brethren include, again, people from within the Lord's church. There are advocates that by denominational men. Again, I pulled these slides off a presentation, these particular slides right here, from a presentation I found online. These are from some denominational ones. These are some books by the brethren. And I thought that first one there, How Christianity Grows in the City, I thought that looks familiar. And so I had that in my library and started reading some more on it. And I want to read just a few things out of it. The time has come for a new idea in the church. We have pushed to its limits the non-biblical concept of a building-centered church life. What has been useful in one place or at one time in our history may not apply to the present. A certain nostalgic appreciation for the past is good and necessary for the accurate interpretation of the present. However, we must not allow traditions to continue if they are continuing to prove themselves beneficial in the present scene. History is a nice place to visit, but we must not live there. They give all kinds of numbers. And then in this one section, he says, dream a moment. And again, this book was written back in the 70s, How Christianity Grows in the City. Dream a moment. And we've had this whole movement in the last couple years. Reimagine. Let's reimagine this. Let's reimagine that. Trying to change it from something of what it is to something different. Dream a moment. First of all, close examination should be made of the priorities of the church buildings and property. Buildings supposedly purchased during the past 20 years at a greater price than any religious body in history has ever paid. The money could be given to the training and sending of evangelists well-equipped around the world. Storefronts or theaters or halls may be rented for public assemblies on the Lord's Day. It goes on with all kinds of things to reimagine. So basically they're saying, we've got too much money in our buildings. Let's get away from buildings and we just meet in homes. We aren't going to call them assemblies or worship service. We're just going to call it a Sunday gathering. And you see that reimagining has taken place in the nuclear family. Don't imagine a husband and a wife. Reimagine what a family can be. Reimagine it can be two women, it can be two men, it can be this, it can be that. And it's this whole liberal, satanic force getting us to go away from God's word. Let's look at some assumptions. House church means a local church that meets in a house. The phrase can mean the church itself or the church meeting place, the church that is in their house. That's the phrase in Romans 16:5, the church that is in their house. So that is That is one church that's mentioned there, a church in their house. Meeting in a house was normal in the New Testament. That's another assumption. That's a wrong assumption. The fact is, local churches in the New Testament met in different locations, including public meeting places, including Solomon's porch. And as we've looked at through the history and geography of the Bible, in Solomon's porch, that portico, it could hold like 20,000 people. And it was not unusual at all at the time for people to come and have gatherings and to speak, to teach. And Christians would assemble in different places. An assumption, small, informal, and casual groups are more spiritual and closer in fellowship. Again, that's an assumption. It may be true, it may not. The fact, spirituality is not determined by outward size, structure, or dress of the group, but rather by the inward mental attitude and heart of the individual. You don't gauge a church by the numbers. You gauge a church, a congregation, by the hearts of the members that make it up. Some of the characteristics: remove Church of Christ or any other name from the sign. Why do that? What's their point? They want to reimagine the church. They want, as we said this morning, to take God and make God fit what they have in their mind, instead of taking our mind and making it fit the mind of God. So you don't want to put Church of Christ over your door. You don't want to put Church of Christ on your yard sign out in front of your house. Just call it house church. And don't call it a worship service. Just call it a Sunday gathering. Note the large assembly of saints in Jerusalem, and they flourished. That wasn't a small group, where there were 3,000 men baptized on the day of Pentecost, more baptized later. Informal, the house church says, you know, just sit around in a circle, make it casual. James talks about when someone comes in to your assembly and you give him a chief seat. Again, they want to take whatever they can and bring God, bring religion down to what I can do to meet, as we would say in food, the minimum daily requirements. What's the minimum daily requirement of this vitamin that I need? Or what's the least amount of this? And I can check that off. Emphasis on social or relational practices, not doctrinal preaching and teaching. So, as I said this morning, this ties in with the one this morning. I'll just let God be the judge of that. I just let God be the judge. And we had one preacher on the slide up there that makes $30 million a year by saying, I'll let God be the judge of that. I'm not going to preach on sin. I'm not going to tell people they're going to hell. I'm going to be encouraging and uplifting and full of joy and peace. And the church focuses on social or relational practices. How's your relationship with your husband? How's your relationship with your wife? How's your relationship with your children? And those are things that we need to know, but not to the exclusion of teaching and preaching on sin. Because again, if we don't get people to realize that they are in sin, they ain't going to repent. And if they don't repent, they aren't going to make it. They're going to be lost. More characteristics: they favor a mutual ministry over a located preacher. So a lot of these house churches, don't have a dedicated preacher. And again, from one of those earlier slides that I showed, it said, you know, just visit online these different house churches. And when you see something you think you might like attending, then go and visit them that day and see what they have. You might like that. No standing treasury. They don't need a standing treasury because they aren't doing the work of the church or following out the command to give, to lay by in store on the first day of the week. They offer a fellowship meal, a common meal in connection with the Lord's Supper or something during the assembly. And note that the assembly of saints at Corinth was not in a home. So stop and think about this point. A lot of people will say, well, that's how they met in the first century. They met in people's homes. They met in their homes. Well, when we come to 1 Corinthians 11, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. So Paul was pointing out they weren't in a house when he was saying this to them. He said, you're making a common meal out of this. If you want a common meal, go back to your house. You don't do that in the assembly. And again, what is the assembly? Back to that slide I showed this morning with Jimmy Carter saying, I just let God be the judge, and I believe that God is this, this, and this. And I said the problem with that is we all believe one thing, we all believe another, but what does the Bible say? So we got to get back to what does the Bible say about the assembly? What does the Bible say that the church is? How would we find out? How would we know? We go back and we look at the word. It's called out or forth, and this is from ekkaleo, properly a gathering of citizens. Called out from where? Called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly so used. And Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, what does it mean, the assembly? It means coming out of our homes into some public place, not forsaking that, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Some other characteristics. One set of elders in a city over many house churches. They don't have elders in each house church, and that would be kind of hard to do. If it's small and you'd have a plurality of men in one house church, informal, spontaneous worship and mutual participation, including the expanded role of women, hand clapping, lifting up, swaying hands, drama, role playing. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I was in a Bible study one time, and this older sister was talking about people getting worked up in emotion and getting that feeling that, you know, the Holy Spirit was moving them. And she said, honey, you can get that same feeling going into a bar. That feeling doesn't mean you're getting religion. And that's always stuck in my mind, because people want to get people worked up emotionally, and it's probably not even based what they're talking about on God's word. So you have all of these movements going on. Again, in the 70s, 80s, it's coming back, resurfacing again. Something you hear people talking about, church planting movements. somebody being a church planter. Let's go out and plant a church here. Let's plant a church there. And this is not common to one belief. Denominations do this. The church that is in your house, this is His Grace Bishop Paula. Traditional established denominations are trying to get people to start churches in their house. And so somebody came out, and you know, that's like a big shift to go from, like, you know, wearing a jacket and a tie and dressing up and coming out on Sunday and doing this to just staying at home and wearing your casual clothes and getting out the guitar and having a good time and calling it worship. How are we going to get people to do this? Well, somebody came out how to deprogram traditional church for house church. 21 things to deprogram in transition from big church to house church. So there are programs out there designed to get you to go from what you believe the Bible teaches to what they are trying to push. So I looked up, I tried to find this. Again, this is a video. I tried to find something in writing, and when I searched for deprogramming traditional church, the only thing that I came up with was Jim Jones, which most of us know from the 70s, leader of the People's Temple, responsible for the deaths of more than 900 people at his Jonestown compound in Guyana in 1978. And we use the phrase today, they drank the Kool-Aid, where he had all of these people together. It was laced with a poison, cyanide-laced concoction. Within 5 minutes, all of these people were dead because they followed this person that was trying to deprogram them from traditional religion into following what he was teaching. So back to the church and coming together. You come together, 1 Corinthians 11:17, verse 18, when you come together as a church, verse 20, when you come together in one place. We've got to see that there's a difference between the universal and the local church. Universal, there is no work that is carried out in the universal church. We're baptized, we're added to the universal church. The local church is where the work is carried out. But you take the house church movement, and what is the work that they do? Just inviting more people to come over and get together and have relationships and have a good time. Organization of the universal church into collective action is unauthorized. That leads also to the sponsoring church arrangement, mission societies, different things. God created the local church to do the local work. There's a pattern for that, how it is to function. All of the collective work of the church is enacted and accomplished by means of the local church. Again, when we try to change what God has set for us, we are deviating from His word. The local is composed of saints who form a body, describes a spiritual relationship. In addition to that, it's a functional organization, a group or collective which functions together. So what is our responsibility to a local church? That'll bring it down where we can see how that compares with the house church. Well, we need to identify with the local church. Some people think that they can be members at large. Again, where is the authority to be a member at large? We read of Paul going to join himself to the church at Jerusalem. Well, what if I don't join myself to a local church. Well, then how can I be under an eldership? How can I exhort and encourage one another? How can I build each other up? How can I, and that gets down to the true relationship, being committed to being a church member in a local congregation, watching out for each other's souls, coming together in one place to worship God. Our responsibility to the local church is to be active in its worship and work, not a spectator. Not, I think I'll drop in at this house church this week, and maybe next month I'll go to that house church. And God did not design the church that way. The body's not going to grow. The Christian's responsibility to the local church help maintain its unity and purity. We'll end here with John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. People today, I don't want to generalize, a lot of people are saying there's not enough spirit in the church. Friends, the only person we have to blame for that, we've got to point our finger this way. We've got to develop the fruit of the Spirit. We've got to love one another, care about one another. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we can't say that traditional religion is too formal, and we've got to reimagine. Let's create something new, and it'll be so much more spiritual. A lot of the world is buying that because it sounds good. They can do what they want. They can come and go when they please, and they're not held accountable. But friends, that is not God's pattern. He wants us to be accountable. He wants us to work together, form close relationships together, and take this message out to the world and share it with others. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs prayers, needs to make confession, needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
I hear the Savior.